Please do be seated. So it is good to see you this morning. Great to be breaking open God's Word together. And we will be exploring, as I said earlier, this theme of gratefulness and giving thanks to God. As Emma and her volunteers so showed us in that BAFTA-winning performance, I have to say it was very good. Let's pray and then we'll get into it. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story, for this example of Jesus gave of the value and importance that you place on thankfulness, on gratefulness. Help us, Father, to give thanks with a grateful heart. Help us to be people in whatever time comes, in the good times, in the bad times, help us to be people who count our blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning I want to start with a story, probably, hopefully, at least a little familiar to some of you. Back in 2010, San Jose in Chile, 5th of August, 33 men are 2,300 feet underground in a mine when the whole mine shaft collapses, trapping them in a small cave, and they have no means of communication and only limited food and water. And they had no idea at that stage if they could be rescued, if anyone even knew that they were down there or alive. But they made the decision together that they were going to try and survive. So they began to ration the food and water that they had, sharing just one can of tuna a day between 33 of them. But none of them knew at that stage that it would be 69 days before any of them saw daylight again. And so they waited and they prayed. And there are remarkable stories of God powerfully at work in that group at that time. One of their members fell ill. They prayed for him, and the next day he was stronger, and this is their quote, he was stronger than the rest of them. And every day they would begin and end their day in prayer and worship, joining together in praise songs, using words they could remember. Contact with the miners was eventually made. Food and water could be passed down to them through this tiny hole drilled into the top of the cave. And this gave them hope. However, it wasn't until they were all back on the surface that they were told that no rescue operation like this had ever been attempted before. And in fact, each person that arrived back on the surface was a miracle. They had to travel up this tiny drill shaft. And I don't know if you've ever seen some of the footage, but it's just big enough for someone to fit in. So it would have been like this, in complete pitch black, through 2,300 meters in this tiny tube. But what was amazing is then seeing how each person was greeted by their family and friends, how overjoyed they were to have been rescued. In interviews after the rescue, many of the miners referred to a 34th miner who was down there with them. And by this, they meant the presence of God. They had all felt God with them in that time, giving them hope. And how thankful they were to God that they had survived. And I hope this morning that perhaps this story will help us just begin to identify with some of that emotion, some of the psychology of what was happening in our gospel passage, of how these 10 men would have felt being reunited with their family and friends. As Emma said, leprosy is highly contagious. And in biblical times, there was no cure. So the only way to survive was to be ushered out, or not ushered, sent, commanded out to the outskirts of towns and villages, to their own communities of people with leprosy. They were forced to leave their friends, their families, their communities. And they would have been entirely reliant on people's charity to bring food to the edge of the villages for them to go and actually have something to eat. And so that's why when Jesus is walking on the road into the town, he finds 10 of these people gathered by the road, used, I'm sure, to begging from those who are passing by. And we see that Jesus was obviously well known to them, because they call out to him from a distance, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They know who he is. They recognize him. And even without any contact, even without sharing a word with them, they receive that mercy. Jesus immediately instructs them, "Go and show yourself to the priest, as it is their responsibility to pronounce you healed." Now, I have a confession to make. I'm quite glad that's not my job anymore. I'm quite glad that people don't have to come to me and I have to certify them as healthy. Not sure that would go down particularly well. But that was the priest's job at that time, to certify people as well or healed. But it's not when they get there that they're healed. It's literally as they obey Jesus, as they turn to go, God heals them. And the fact is, long before they ever would have made it into the town or even made it in front of the priest to be declared clean, they would have known. Leprosy is a visual disease. It's characterized by a sort of white, people were described as being white as snow, and that sense of being covered in white sort of fungus or something similar like that. So it would have been really obvious to all of them that suddenly this would have vanished from their skin. And in this healing, Jesus is restoring them not only physically, but socially. Their health is restored, but so are their relationships. They were able to be reunited with friends and family they probably expected to never see again. And I think we can only imagine the scenes as the families and friends are reunited. A bit like those Chilean miners finally returning to the surface and being swept up in the arms of their loved ones. And we see this happen time and time again in the Gospels. Jesus restores people on a number of levels, physically, emotionally, but also socially. People that were outcasts are brought back into the midst of society. No one is to be left out of the kingdom of God. And Jesus shows us this. And I believe his example shows us that the kingdom of God is all about inclusion. It's not about exclusion. It's for everyone. And I think this is often the message that the church has got wrong through the years. I believe that the church should be a place where everybody is welcome, regardless of their gender, their race, their sexuality, whether they're married, they're single, they're in a relationship, whatever. These are the things that we can get hung up on as human beings. But God sees beyond those differences to a common humanity that we share. And as Christians, I believe this is what we are called to do, to look beyond our differences and recognize the humanity in the person or people around us. In the gospel, it is the attitude of the Pharisees and the scribes that so often Jesus challenges, because they're caught up with drawing lines and divisions between people. They're almost obsessed with it, it seems, obsessed with excluding people, telling them that they're not clean, they are not worthy. And the danger is when we start to believe that some people belong in church and others don't, that we fall exactly into that same trap. We become Pharisees ourselves when we seek to include people, to welcome them, to see the common humanity that we share. That's when I believe we are following the example that Jesus gave to us. Another major theme of this passage, as we've touched on, is this sense of gratefulness. As I mentioned just now, these 10 people affected by leprosy were healed as they went. They would have recognized the signs, but only one of them turns back to thank Jesus. And perhaps on the face of it, I think it is easy for us to judge those who didn't come back. But I think if we put ourselves in their shoes, so keen to get home, so keen to be reunited with family, perhaps it would be easy for us to get caught up too in that process and joy and excitement, and perhaps forget to say thank you. The one person out of the 10 who does return shows true gratitude, lying on the floor at Jesus' feet and thanking him. It's an extreme reaction, but one that shows the extent of gratitude that he has. For this one person, gratitude came easily. For the other 9, it was an afterthought or entirely forgotten. And through this passage, Jesus is teaching us about the value of gratitude. And in my own human experience, there are times when it is very easy to give thanks. But there are also times when it is really, really difficult. When it is possibly the last thing that we want to do. But this is the challenge that is set before us. To be people who, whatever comes, will return to God showing gratitude for all that we have. There is an old spiritual discipline of listing one's blessings, naming them before God and giving thanks. In whatever place we find ourselves in, be it good or bad, I think this can be so helpful just in reminding ourselves of all that God has done for us. And I want to challenge you this morning. Are you making opportunities in your daily life to say thank you to God? And this could be as simple as saying a prayer of thanks before meals. Maybe a prayer giving thanks at the end of the day. A friend of mine keeps a prayer journal, a record of what they prayed for. And so every so often they go back through it. They take a look at how God has been at work, and they can almost go and tick off some of the things. And that really helps them in that sense of being grateful and thankful for where God is moving in their lives. Finally, there is one more theme for us to reflect on this morning, and that is faith. When these 10 people greet Jesus on the road, their request for mercy is asked in certainty. There isn't a question of, oh, Jesus, can you heal us? Is that something that's possible? They know Jesus is, and they have faith. They simply say, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. And that was all that needed to be said. In that one sentence, they showed they believed that God, that Jesus could do what they needed him to do. One of my favorite stories in the Gospels is that of the faith of the centurion. He sends for Jesus as his servant, his most beloved servant, is sick. And as Jesus is on his way, before he's even got to the centurion's house, the centurion sends friends to Jesus with a message. They say, rather than come to this house, just say the words. He asked Jesus, all you need to do is just say the words of healing, and I know that my servant will be healed. And Jesus is amazed at his faith. He holds it up as an example to those gathered round that conversation. When we ask God for something, when we pray, do we do so in expectation that God will answer us? Do we have faith that God will move and we'll see things change? Those with leprosy in our reading this morning, the centurion, they both set us examples of absolute belief that the God of life and death is at work in and through Jesus. And that they trust that the power of God in that moment will hold good. And this is the rhythm of life as Christians. Faith leading to gratitude, and gratitude leading to faith. I liked what Emma said. It's about an attitude of gratitude. One of the things I wish I'd come up with. We need to be people of faith and people of gratitude. As Paul writes in Thessalonians, we are called to be people who give thanks to God in all circumstances, because this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. So this morning, what can we take away from all this? Well, three things, I think. Firstly, Jesus shows us that the kingdom of God is inclusive. It's not exclusive. Restoring the people with leprosy is a sign of this. They are not just restored to health, but to community, where once they were considered dead to their family and friends, they are now alive. And how can we model this pattern here at St. George's? What can we be doing to show that this is a place where all are welcome? That it isn't just a club for people that are just like us. Perhaps this is something we can get involved with when we think about places of welcome, when we open our doors of our church and we welcome people in. Perhaps this is a way of saying all are welcome in this place. We are called to be people who look beyond the surface level, to look at the humanity that we share. This was always the priority to Jesus. Secondly, in our passage, we are shown the importance of gratitude. And are we thankful for the things that we have? Are there opportunities we can create to say thank you to God, to count our blessings? What could you do to help you remember to say thank you to God each day? Thirdly, this morning we have been shown an example of great faith in God through Jesus. Are we willing to put our complete faith in God? Will we trust him? Not just with the small stuff, but with the really big stuff. Believing that God will move in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example that these 10 people set, that they trusted in you, they had faith in you, they knew what you were capable of. Father, help us to be like that one person who came back, who fell at your feet and said thank you. Help us, Father, to have that attitude of gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen.